Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We're just two sexy boys. Sexy boys. It's the Luke and Pete Show. It is Thursday, the 16th of February. My name is Pete Donaldson. My name is Luke Moore there. What's going on? You did that in the ramble. You nearly said Pete Donaldson.
My name's Brusher Mills, the snake catcher.
Whoa. Yeah. Is that the guy who lived in a national park and caught snakes for money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool, right?
It's not bad. I would just need to know. He seemed to be a man. You sent me a link last night, and I very much enjoyed the story. And it's kind of just basically a man who...
Shall I read the story?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, right. Well, hello, everyone. Anyway,
hello,
I wanted to say hey. I don't want to bombard people with some absolute top-level premium content straight out the gate.
Mm.
Sometimes I think people need to be eased into it.
They do, yeah.
Settle in. Like, when you go to a nice restaurant, they don't just say, bang, main course.
Yeah, I think that's a hitting people with content, just a really good way to get UTI this early. It's just kind of like, oh, fuck, it burns. Yeah. I need to be eased into the bath.
And take a piss afterwards.
Take a piss afterwards, yeah, exactly.
So the content based around Brusher Mills is as follows. This is from the New Forest National Parks website. Don't ask why I was on it. Can't remember.
Mm.
But it's a guy called Brusher Mills who lived from 1840 to 1905 and grew up in the village of Emery Down and worked as a labourer. But in his 40s, he moved into an old charcoal burner's hut in the woodlands near Brockenhurst and took up catching snakes for a living. So armed with a forked stick and a sack, he set about ridding local properties of grass snakes and adders. He sent some to London Zoo as food for the birds of prey and used others to make ointments to treat snake bites and other ailments. It is thought that he caught around 30,000 snakes during his 18 years as a snake catcher. These days, he would have to choose a different professional path because all the New Forest reptiles are, of course, are under special protection these days.
Right.
But he was given the Brusher nickname because he used to sweep the cricket pitch at Balmer Lawn between innings whenever a match was played. A simple man who loved a simple life. He lived contentedly, Pete, in his mud hut in the New Forest, apart from a spell in the workhouse because he caught the flu. which they don't go into detail on.
That's the last person
you want to put someone with flu, isn't it?
Yeah, I always forget what the deal was with workhouses and free medicine. I think it was something to do with you had to work if you wanted the medicine. I don't know. Yeah. I'm probably wrong on that one.
Look at the latest Tory manifesto, you'd probably see. So Brusher was a popular character
in
Brockenhurst who regularly enjoyed a drink at the Railway Inn, which is now named the Snake Catcher in his honour. Mm. I'm sure it's a lovely pub, the Snake Catcher in Brockenhurst. And he was a popular tourist attraction at the local fairs. He was distraught, though, towards the end of his life because his hut was vandalised and he was left homeless. And then he ended up living in an outbuilding at his favourite hostelry.
Yeah.
And died not long afterwards. And the reason
in an outbuilding in a hostelry. That's lovely stuff.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Pete Donaldson. But the reason I wanted to bring that to the table is a fascinating story about a guy who, of a time that's no longer with us. Those days are gone now. Mm. The late 19th century. But he had to say, weirdly, just had the same energy as you, like a 19th century energy, Pete Donaldson. I can definitely see you in the 19th century being a bit of a kind of roustabout type, itinerant type schemer, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it'd be snake catching. It could be.
I think it'd need to be something a bit more technologically advanced.
But what would it be for that period? It'd be steampunk.
Spinning Jenny, obsessive. Talks about him. He doesn't own one. Talks about it a lot.
The guy with the cotton gin? Could be that, couldn't it?
Could
be that.
I think it's a lovely idea, just sort of a man who, in your words, cuts about. But it's a lonely life, isn't it? And it sounds like he had a great time on the land. And apparently, like as I said, like I mean, his house got vandalised.
Yeah.
So like,
just kids, though, isn't it?
It's just, is it kids? But then they said that it might be, have been somebody who owned the land that didn't want him to have squatters' rights when squatters' rights came in.
Oh, so basically, you've been there so long.
Yeah.
They were like, get rid of him.
Yeah. But he's a simple man. He only needs a little bit of land. And like, he lived in a, what sounds like a little shed in a pub.
Well, the Victorian era was obviously a very harsh era, but you'd have to have a very hard heart indeed to deny Brusher Mills his hut.
Yeah.
His Victorian mud hut.
Just let him have a little mud hut for crying out loud. It's hardly grand designs, is it?
No, it's not. And you read television wouldn't have become him for a very long time after that. But you read that biog there and you think, that sounds like a pretty nice life. Sweeping the cricket lawn, catching the snakes, knocking about in nature. My question to you, though, is in reality, is that a good life? Would that be nice?
Well, it's just nice that he reinvented himself in his 40s. There's hope for all of us.
True, actually.
There's some.
So if you do a pivot now, get yourself down to the New Forest.
Well, there's snakes on Two Tree Island in Essex, near where I live.
What kind of snakes do you know?
I think it might be adders, you know?
Adders are the ones that, you know.
I don't know, actually. I think it might be adders, isn't it? They're poisonous, aren't they?
Well, you get adders in Epping Forest, yeah.
I think they're
venomous, actually, Peter, but I know what you meant.
Okay, right. Adders, yes. There has been an increased sightings of adders around Leon Sea. This adder was spotted at the bottom of Lee Steps in the Brilton Hills Nature Reserve. It's just cutting about. That's really near my house.
So they are,
or not.
So they are, they are venomous. They're not the only snakes living around there. Yeah. They are venomous, but to the point of where I think if you got bitten by one, you'd probably be okay.
Okay.
Like, I think it's a small child or an elderly person doesn't get medical attention quickly enough.
Right.
We're not talking about, you know, black mamba stuff here.
No.
We're not talking about high levels of neurotoxins.
But can't you survive every bite if you get seen quickly enough?
I think there are some that is spiders and snakes that it's pretty much curtains.
Because apparently in the UK there are people with venom, and I've probably spoken about this before, so it's an interesting little quirk. They've got anti-venom in certain sites around the UK, but they are 25 miles away from different parts of the country so that they can be served very quickly.
Oh,
so you
nice.
Go, Dave, it's been an adder bite.
We need
some of the anti-venom for the adder to turn up.
But if, I think there are some, I think it's the black mamba, forgive me if this is wrong, but I think the black mamba is a very potent neurotoxin.
Nightclub.
Where I think the only way you can get through it is if you get to a ventilator quick enough and wait for it to wear off.
Right.
So there hasn't been a developed anti-venom for it.
So your lungs just go, nah.
Well, there was a story.
I think
I mentioned it on the show many years ago, but there was a story of a guy who essentially had a version of locked-in syndrome because he got bitten by a black mamba.
Right.
But he was still conscious.
Yeah. Sounds like a lot of fun.
He can hear his family debating whether to turn his life support machine off or not.
Ugh.
And they didn't. They didn't. Right. Yeah, and he was fine. He worked his way through it. But, I mean, that's kind of what you're dealing with. I don't think you're getting that from an adder in Leon C.
No. What about that? What about the snake that Jake the Snake got to bite Macho Man Randy Savage with?
Yeah,
so really horrible.
So Jake the Snake must have got bitten a load of times over the years.
I guess so. Yeah, he wasn't. He was banned from having snakes for quite a while. Yeah,
and rightly so.
When he lived in St Albans, I just don't give an alcoholic a snake.
First of all, what are you doing in St Albans? Secondly, if it involves putting a snake in a sack and chucking him into the middle of a wrestling ring in front of 60,000 people, that snake should not be there.
No,
I see so much of that on Instagram now. I don't think people fully appreciate what they're putting animals through. Like, there's a load of quirky, kind of like cutesy, adventurous cat Instagram accounts.
Right.
Oh, look at my cat surfing. Yeah, the cat doesn't want to fucking be there.
No.
If you know anything about...
Doesn't want to be in the sea.
Cat behaviour.
Like me now.
Yeah. Well, we'll come on to that in a minute, actually. A cat who's crouching close to the ground, ears flat, tail down, looking terrified, isn't enjoying your fucking surfing trip, mate.
No.
He's not supposed to be there. So it's not cute, it's fucking cruel, is what
Everybody
it is.
Everybody go surfing with my cat.
I'm back on board. If that's the soundtrack, I'm back on board.
Yeah, all right, fine.
Speaking of you, you've presumably recovered from your near drowning there.
Yeah.
Psychologically, do you feel better about it? Or
No, when I think about it, I don't like it.
No, because you said the further it gets away from it, the more...
Yeah, it's better. Yeah, I can laugh and joke about it. I sent you a video of the big waves at the weekend.
Yeah, and then refused to let me share it.
It's not putting on social media.
Yeah.
Because Sarah will kill me.
Yeah, fair enough. Have you heard from Abraham?
Not heard from Abraham. I'm sure...
Is he very online or not really?
I don't know. Well, the woman who... The American lady who said she was praying for me, said that she's been taking pictures of Abraham all week and sending it to his to her girlfriends because he's so hot.
Right. Is that, what's, how's that meant to help you exactly?
I don't, well, he helped me in the only way he could.
Yeah, yeah. It's true, actually. Yeah. In the only language he knew. The shared language you had.
Shouting at me in the sea.
The language of life and death. A lot of people on Twitter, on our at Luke and Pete Show Twitter account, it kind of resonated with a lot of people.
Yeah,
and we had a massive week for downloads.
Yeah.
So maybe you should think about, you know, putting yourself in perilous positions.
I never know. When you sort of see shows that like have like added on a few listeners every week in the old setup, you do sort of go, well, they didn't know we were going to talk about that. So yeah. It's almost like it's whether they stick around, isn't it?
I think it's if something resonates with people, they maybe tell their mates or something.
Oh, you reckon?
Yeah, okay. I think it's going to do with that. But I was also particularly pleased with the tweet we got from our friend Jeff.
Right.
Who I basically posted a tweet saying, thanks very much for supporting us, you know, and Pete's fine and all the rest of it. Essentially.
Well, us. Well,
yeah.
Well.
Well, I guess kind of thinly veiled reference to your near-death experience, but very much talking about a near-death experience. And Jeff replied with, the number of times I've laughed out loud in public listening to you both, I've lost count.
Yeah.
Well, it's not what we're going for, really, with Pete almost dying. I mean, that was very much a true story.
Yeah, well, they're all true stories. Not lies on this podcast.
No, exactly, absolutely not. So you haven't heard from Abraham?
I've never heard from Abraham, no.
I'd love to do a special with him.
Yeah.
Would it be cathartic for you?
No, it'd still be upsetting. It'd still be upsetting.
Catharsis can be upsetting, can't it?
I guess so, yeah, for a bit. Yeah. It's like anti-venom.
It's a kind of point for it.
If I just had anti-venom with no venom inside me, I think my body would try and it wouldn't have a good time.
No, definitely not. And when we were talking the other day about you being...
It's like noise-cancelling headphones.
When we were talking the other day about you... For some reason, we got into a WhatsApp conversation, you and I, about you not having any hair on your body.
Yeah.
And I said that you were like a dolphin.
Mm.
Smooth like a dolphin. Mm. I realised that could have been construed as like a dig, but I didn't mean it as that. Because obviously a dolphin would never drown, would it?
I didn't even clock that, to be honest. That's the sort of thoughts I have, Luke. You're letting yourself down there.
I should be more robust.
Getting old.
Than that.
Yeah, you're getting old.
What, do you second guess everything you said?
Oh yeah.
What kind of thing?
I thought about I think about a lot of stuff. When we were in America and you were slagging off my trousers that were very, very, my penis was very, very visible.
I mean, and can I just say, the way you're framing that is making me sound like a horrific bully.
You are a horrific bully.
But those, come on.
They were tighter than I'd put on a bit of weight and I hadn't realised.
New York had not seen those trousers since Studio fucking 54. Let's make that absolutely clear.
They were very graphic.
You could basically see the outline of your cock.
Yeah, they were very graphic.
And I just mentioned that.
No, you, through... A two-day period, you mentioned them every hour. It was your favourite thing to talk about.
No, the favourite thing
my tight trousers.
The favourite thing to talk about was when you were wearing those tight trousers, walking down a road in Manhattan next to a sex worker, and essentially you both looked like Hugh Grant and Divine Brown.
It was so good. That is the best thing you've ever said.
Yeah.
I laughed for ages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was partly trousers, so you enjoyed it.
I enjoyed that.
Anyway,
but
what were you second guessing?
No,
about
but so
I'd hate to think you've never worn them again. That'd be awful for me if you've never worn them since.
I wore them for the rest of the time I was in America, I think. But yeah, no, I've not worn them ever since. I mean, they are.
You must have known how tight they were.
I did when I put them on. Fucking hell.
When you bought them, did you try them on?
Yeah, but I was a thinner man then.
Oh, okay, right.
I've gone to seed, Luke.
Oh, no, I respect.
You understand?
I respect the rage and the gets
done.
I had
to see all my business. It was really horrific. But I said, he was mocking me for wearing a suit and very tight trousers.
Mocking his
in heart. Very hot weather.
Yeah.
And it was a mistake. It was a mistake. But I wanted to dress nice for the meetings. And I said, Luke, you have literally told me that on this show that the only reason why you don't wear a suit jacket anymore is because you got a bit more broad. Right, and you've not updated your suits.
Well, let's make it clear, because I've put on a lot of weight.
No, but you said it on this show, and I said that, and you went, oh, he's rude, isn't he? And I was like, no, you've been on to me all day about my trousers, and then I say one thing back.
Yeah, but didn't you say it in the meeting?
No, I didn't say it in the meeting. I said it outside what do you call that? The Flat Iron Building.
Oh, not that you remember.
The Flat Iron Building.
You know, what time of day was it? 3:54 PM.
But I thought about that for ages. No, but I get upset about people thinking that I'm awful. But yeah.
Oh, but I think, to be honest, that ship has sailed now, hasn't it?
What do you mean?
You've been awful.
Oh, you are awful.
I mean, I find it particularly tough to take that on the right. same day you are showing me videos of you screaming Papa Roach karaoke sessions right. in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And then saying to me, it's not great that people think I'm awful. What? Well, don't do it then.
Don't do the awful things.
There's nothing not awful about screaming Papa Roach karaoke into in a small room.
Well, I just said we'd exhausted all of the standards and I thought, let's go off the reservation.
Okay.
Have some Papa Roach.
What are the standards for you?
I mean, it's just the usual ones, isn't it? Erase Your Little Respect, all those ones, like the ones that like everybody likes.
Have you ever seen...
And then go, let's fucking shake this... up, granddad.
Shake this tree.
Let's shake this
Have
tree.
You ever seen someone earnestly try and do A Little Respect by Erasure? And do it?
I think A Little Respect is quite good because for a karaoke song, because people with quite high voices, the females in the room can sing the high bit, and the people with deeper voices can sing it in a lower register. It's perfect.
Yeah. I For me, the karaoke thing is you have to do it as a bit of fun.
Right. You can't take it seriously.
I don't think so.
Mm. We spoke about that. I think people who do raps as their only song is people who disappoint me.
Yeah, because they lack the courage to commit to proper karaoke.
Exactly.
It's like
you can't embarrass yourself.
It's like going into, go on the dance floor, agreeing to go on the dance floor, and then just only ironically busting out a robot. Like, fuck off. Fucking get involved or don't.
Me and Sarah have been having a pitched a battle about a karaoke choice that she made on our last trip of karaoke. What's it? A Jewel. You Were Made For Me. Is that You Were Meant For Me? That song.
I know the
that
song. One? Yeah. I'm better sing it, but I know what it is, yeah.
I mean, Sarah very much can sing it. She's a good singer, but she sang it and I made an offhand comment that said that I just think it brought the mood down a little bit.
Yeah, I can see that. To be fair, I can see that.
Yeah, and it's been mentioned about, you know, three times a week since.
Well, she
and
was obviously proud of her performance.
It was a fantastic performance.
But you haven't
I'm just
said
saying
that.
It's
you
not a karaoke song.
That,
it's not
that,
a karaoke song, though.
Did you say that was a fantastic performance, but the energy's gone out the room.
The energy's, you've sucked the energy out of the room.
I do think there's a time to be said about that.
Yeah.
I think you need to keep...
Let's Dance, David Bowie. Classic.
Fine. I'd love to see you do that.
I'm quite good at it.
I'd probably throw my knickers at you. I don't... I've got a general rule about boy bands.
I'm not wearing anything, you see.
I know. But my boy band rule is I'll happily investigate further if I hear a boy band that got a pop song out.
Right.
The only thing I ask in return, because I like pop music, the only thing I ask in return is it's upbeat. I don't want to be hearing a love song.
Okay, that's nice.
I don't want you sat on a stool.
No.
I want you up.
I want you up and about.
Otherwise, I'm out of it. I'm not doing it.
I want you using all of your young legs. Yeah.
And so, someone like you, if you're doing karaoke in a small room with, I'm assuming there's four or five people there, I'm presuming, is there more people than that there?
It's about that. Well, maybe about six or seven. Yeah.
And then if you're sat there while someone else is doing it, and say it's a partner of a friend and you don't know them that well, where are you specifically, where are your eyes going?
Because what do you mean?
I think you'd find it awkward.
No, I think karaoke you have to maintain and create a level of drunkenness that you don't normally reach, I would say.
Were you successful in that?
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And is that why you went to the paint shop with your hoodie the next day?
I was so pleased with going to the paint shop. And they gave me trade discount because I was dressed as a dad. Dads get trade discount.
A bigger boy.
Bigger boy. I look like a bigger boy.
Bigger boy recognises a bigger boy.
Bigger boy, exactly. Yeah.
Speaking of which, do you want to hear something funny about my house?
Okay.
You'll like this. So we haven't... Decorate.
You were away for a bit because it was just inhospitable for a week.
I went last week. Yeah, I went away last week because of that. And I was planning on doing that as a bit of content on Monday's show. So we can't do that now.
Right. Okay.
I'll talk about my trip later.
Okay.
But they're decorating the house. They're decorating four rooms in the house. They're decorating spare room, bedroom, living room, hallway.
Yeah.
Which is basically the whole house, which is the kitchen room, the dining room, which are both small. So there's nowhere to go. Mm. Anyway, so in the kitchen, the Wi-Fi I have access to said. I'm going to give you a bit of context here. We used to have a fridge that you could put magnets on.
Right.
So we went through a phase where everywhere we went somewhere, we'd get a magnet. And you used to kindly get us one as well if you went away on holiday and you bring us back a magnet. It was great. And then we moved into a fitted fridge, which had no magnetic thing. So what
it's completely plastic on the front. Like it didn't
It's like a built-in one. Do you know what I mean?
So the doors,
a cupboard.
Okay, cool.
Your eyes really lit up there at the technological innovation of a plastic fridge.
Fridge.
That sounds good.
Wow.
Already Googling. So the Wi-Fi I have access to said that, you know, this is great. This is like a story of all the trips we've been on, so we should keep it. So she bought a big magnetic strip that stuck on the wall with this quite aggressive adhesive, right?
And then this was coming off.
This was a few years ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, the other day, she said, "I'll take that off because we want to use that space of the wall space because the kitchen's small. Yeah. We need to use that wall space and put them on the extractor on above the oven. They'll stick on there.
Nice.
It'll look good.
Like that.
That's a good idea." So yeah. I did that.
Cracker.
I took the magnets off, put it on there. When it came to pulling the magnetic strip off, it was fucking impossible.
Yeah.
And I ended up pulling it off, and it was like, okay, this is going quite badly.
Yeah.
And
it's taken out cement out of the wall.
As I was pulling it off, the exceptionally talented decorator who's in the house came into the kitchen to wash the brushes and just saw me pulling paint off the wall like I was the anti-decorator, and like I was doing some kind of statement. Obviously, they also have quite poor English,
yeah,
so they could only see it as some kind of like demonstration of like...
You problem?
Yeah, here's a lack of respect for your trade. Just pulled it off, ended up pulling all the plaster off.
Oh, no.
And then he gave me a look like... Well, I ain't been paid to do that bit,
yeah,
so I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
You're stuck with that now.
You do know. You pointed M1, you do know.
Exposed concrete look in your kitchen, it's great. So that was that was like a Larry David moment.
Nice.
And there was nothing to stop me waiting until they went home to do it.
Yeah.
I could have just waited, but I didn't think. And I heard the footsteps and I thought, oh God, fuck's sake. So actually, I was on the phone to LC yesterday saying, LC, when you come over in the summer, I've got a job for you. And he loves it all. So he was like, yeah, okay, great, I'll do that. Anyway, that's what I've been doing.
I had such a fucking ordeal with some rising damp. We spoke about it on the show before.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way.
It's all done now. It's all fixed up.
So our listener friend Al wants an update on your rising damp issue, please, because he says he thinks he has a similar problem.
Yeah, we're in a... I had to drill these little kind of like rising damp dealing with sort of chemical sticks into the wall.
Yeah, I never heard of them.
I had to fill. They're good. They worked, and they dried out all the plaster, and it didn't look like we were going to have that problem for a little while. Anyway, I had to bloody put more mortar in between the bricks because the last person who had the house presumably just put fucking wood in it. He just saw a hole, just got a bit of wood, like a little shiv, and just shoved it in there. And so I filling that in there, and then where the plaster comes out, I had to sort of. I had to re-plaster it, and I've never plastered before. I've done an alright job.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, get some paint mix that was exactly the same paint. And fair play to the Crown fucking paints people; they managed to match the paint almost perfectly.
You're not a fire and ball man, though.
It's a bit out of my price range, but then it was all, you know, I sanded it down and painted it, and then. Put the skirting bird back on the wall, and then I had to cork that, and then
someone walked in and said, "What are you doing in my house?" I'm like, "Oh, I've got the wrong fucking house again."
But it looks absolutely spotless. I'm really, pleased with the performance. I'll send you one.
Did you take a photo? Like, did you do a before photo?
Pre, yeah, I did before, great. And I'll give you an after.
Send those to Big Rory, and we'll put them up there because we've had quite a lot of listeners asking about how it's going.
Yeah, but these sticks you buy, I forget what they are, but they're basically sticks you put in the wall, and they basically, if you do them in a line, they basically, their chemicals just kind of like with a capillary action, just kind of get in all of the holes in the mortar, spreading out in a line. And it's basically like a chemical damp proofing course.
That's awesome.
It's great stuff.
It's the things I can do these days.
I like it.
Maybe if Brusher Mills had that in his heart, he wouldn't have had the problems he had. Anyway, let's have a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do some battery brands because it's a Thursday, of course. I don't know if we'll get to the emails, but we've got some good ones, so maybe we'll get to the emails on Monday, but we'll do whatever we can the other side of this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
And we're back with the second half of Thursday's edition of the Luke and Pete Show, sponsored by Dry Rod Damp-Proofing Rods 10-Pack, the next generation rising damp treatment from the makers of Dry Zone.
So that annoys me, because they've not paid for that.
I've not even got freebies.
We're giving them money
for
sponsorship.
Terrible. But they work. Well done, them.
Yeah.
You know what? It's rare in life that you buy something that fucking works, isn't it?
It's getting more
rare. Completely. It's getting more rare.
I was thinking this the other day. You know, I was thinking to myself, you just go outside, wherever you live in the UK, if you're in the UK. I can't speak to other countries, but in the UK. Step outside, look around you.
Yeah. What works?
Everything's shit.
Yeah.
Where's all the money gone? Where's all the fucking money going?
Shit.
I had a terrible combination where I read a news headline that said that Britain is the sixth biggest something economically in the world.
Willy.
Yeah, sixth biggest economic willy in the world, right? Then walked outside, fucking... Our road is closed because of potholes and fucking Thames water.
I'm sorry. Right? Your running battle with Thames water amuses me terribly. They're like the Death Star.
I just don't think it's normal. It's not been normal in the 20 years I've lived in London to walk through London and just see water spouting out of the ground with a Thames water barrier around it saying, we're working on this.
The only people who are investing in the infrastructure of the nation is fucking fibre broadband companies who are just putting up fucking telegraph poles left, right and centre, whether people want them or not.
And they're probably just smashing the water pipes and they're doing it. Is it Clarkson of me to talk about Thames water all the time? It's a bit Clarkson energy,
I don't know,
it?
But I just think it's funny that Thames Water is such a big water company. And they just seem to be, it's like they're like the canoe man of canoeing. And I talk about the canoe man being the best canoeist and being the most famous canoeist in the world, but also the worst canoeist in the world because he technically drowned. So like he...
And also more famous than you from Hartlepool.
Yeah. Doubly annoying.
You'll only just ever sneak on the podium because of Jeff Stelling, canoe man.
Yeah.
And then you're third, basically.
It's when we got on the plane back from Miami and David Cameron was on the plane. I was like, well, you know, Sarah's not getting in the newspaper with that.
No,
If it goes down.
No, you probably get. Would you get a light line at the bottom of the story? Probably.
I wouldn't get anything. It'd be Absolute Radio DJ Sarah Champion, and
was also on board.
I was also on board.
Absolute Radio DJ Sarah Champion and partner
were
also thought to be on board.
Thought to
That's
be.
What you get. Yeah, that's what you get. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, carry on.
Cool.
You can't remember what you said. Thames Water.
I just think they're the most famous water company, and they seem duty bound not to keep any of the water in the pipes, which is bare minimum.
Yeah, it's like a child eating a dinner. Like nothing's on the plate. Nothing's in the mouth. Plate. It's all on the floor,
and not in the taps.
And before we get onto the batteries, I just want to say,
where's your water gone?
I just want to say this:
lost an ungodly amount. It's gone back to the earth.
If you privatise an industry. Yeah. The whole point of the privatisation is to engender competition among customers being able to choose who they want to buy the water from effectively in this situation. The competition is the thing that makes the efficiency better.
Yeah. It just hasn't.
But if you privatise it and there's only one company doing it, which is basically what Thames Water is. Yeah. If you live in London, you can't get your water anywhere else.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
You've essentially taken the only good thing about privatisation away.
Yeah, let's have some Trent water.
Do you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see the water people, the water workers,
the water boys,
go on strike.
Follow the moon.
Just join the gang.
Yeah,
get on strike.
Let's get on strike.
What are you striking for? Nothing's happening. We want to be paid more.
We want the water to stay in the pipes. Naughty water.
Pay them in water. Pay them in bottles of water, which I've had to fucking walk down to the end of my street to get on four occasions I've been living in that fucking house. Anyway, batteries.
Batteries, good. Yeah, they're always trustworthy. Unless you're in cold weather. Hello, lads. After visiting my mother, she gave me a box of electronics that I used to have in my whole old room. Before bringing them to be recycled, I checked the brands and found these gems. Hope some of them make it into your prestigious list. This is Richard Hamstra. Hello, Richard Hamstrad. Just gave him an extra D there. AXA Alkaline Power AAA.
So we're going to go for a whole list here.
I guess so. We've got. Do you want to just pick out a few? Because it's very greedy, isn't it? Really. Yeah. AXA Alkaline Power. We've got Gamma Alkaline 1.5 volt. We've got Kraft Double A's Energies Turbo Teddy Power Double A's, which is a lot of fun.
Well, you've read them
Blitz
all now.
Triple A. Yeah, I've read them all. But it looks like Rory's already gone through them and basically checked whether they are new players. And the vast proportion of them actually are new players.
Don't show people on the curtain. They think I'll do an important job search.
Well, you usually do, but I think...
I'm doing them now.
I think the size of this particular job was just way too large. But it sounds very much like Kraft, Energies Turbo, Gamma, AXA and Teddy Power and Blitz.
So I can confirm, AXA Alkaline Power are new players.
Right.
Gamma Alkaline 1.5 volt are new players.
Okay.
Kraft AA are new players. So he's 3 out of 3 so far.
Yeah.
Energies AA are not new players.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a no. So he's 3 out of 4. Turbo AA, I'm just checking those now, are also new players. So that's 4 out of 5. Teddy Power, spelled TEDI, I believe. Power. I'm checking those right now. This is real-time stuff. This is action.
Good.
They are also new players, so that's 5 out of 6. And Blitz AAA are, finally for now, not new players. So,
let's have a game on the Teddy Power.
5 out of 7. Five out of 7.
Five out of seven ain't bad.
It's remarkable.
It's remarkable stuff. I wonder when all of these batteries were in service.
And I think your Alex Turner impression there was actually fairly good.
Yeah. There's a band, apparently, that do...
Well done, Richard.
There's a band... I wish I knew what the band... I do know.
You always do this. You go, what's that band? And it always turns out to be the fucking Beatles or something.
Check out the band, the Raytons. R-A-Y-T-O-N-S.
They're awful.
They're funny, the way that they're doing the Arctic Monkeys, aren't it? Very funny.
What's interesting... So this is the band, for those who don't know them or know about it, and as far as I'm aware...
I didn't know anything about them. I've seen a small clip of them, which is unfair of me to judge all of their oeuvre, because then I had a look on YouTube and I saw some of their oeuvre, and I was like, wow, this is terrific.
So the music's not very good, in my view, but they've done what they've done, rising to the top of the album charts, I believe, in the UK without any radio play or label support or anything like that. They're basically doing what the Arctic Monkeys threatened to do on a far lower scale.
Yeah.
While... Essentially, I guess, doing a poor version of the Arctic Monkeys, I suppose, is what you're alluding to, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
But it's weird because the support they have got has come from some quite big people on Twitter, like James O'Brien, randomly, who I think likes the idea of what they're doing.
Right.
Is supporting them. And he's got like a million Twitter followers or whatever. And they're able to do the things that, all the things you'd look for when I worked in music back in the day, the things that the A&R people would look for would be like... What was interesting was that a lot of the bands, because that was around the time, Pete, when bands were massive, weren't they? It was like a big indie thing. And what I think indie bands thought was important was, can we look good? And can we do you know, songs that people like. But actually, what was the most important thing to A&R people in my experience was they would just go to that band's hometown and say, can they sell out the biggest venue in their hometown?
Yes.
And if the answer to that's no, they're
not interested.
No.
Right.
Not worth it. It's no point. What's the point? And the ratings have done that very, very well from what I can see, but it's not really my cup of tea. I mean, I'm fucking 42, for God's sake.
Yeah.
The only thing that could make them less cool would be for me and you to start liking it. and you know our friend Noah, who sent us the Battery Daddy, by the way?
Yes.
He's sending us some Prime.
Oh, he really didn't have to do that.
I told him that. I said to him,
that's very
you
kind,
don't have to do this, Noah, but he insisted upon Noah. It. So that's incoming. That's inbound.
Noah and the Whale of Kindness.
Noah and the
they
Whale.
They burned bright, didn't they?
Noah.
That song.
Five years' time.
Yeah.
Took my girlfriend at the time to go see them at the Roundhouse.
Roundhouse?
Yeah.
We're in the Roundhouse?
Which I think is probably the best live venue in London.
I think it's very good. When I saw Phoenix play there, they did that cool thing with the big sheet. When bands do the big sheet and then they start and it drops and it's like, yes, the big sheet is down. Now the gig can commence.
I think every gig should have that.
Yeah. But
it's an event, isn't it?
It is an event. I think they should have several sheets. They should introduce one person each time. They're like, the lead singer should... No, the drum...
So it's like a three-ply sheet, like a big old toilet paper.
Exactly. So it's like the Dance of the Seven Veils or whatever. Like, you'll get one sheet down, until the whole band are revealed.
So the band have to
Polyphonic Spree is going to take a whole gig.
Yeah. And they're wearing sheets, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
So the band have to stand in depth.
Yes.
So the first sheet comes down, and there's one member, and they're doing their thing.
The problem is, you're always going to start with the lead singer, aren't you? Or maybe the lead guitarist. It's kind of like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you went to go and see Phoenix.
Why?
I don't want to...
J'écoute la Phoenix?
As ever, I'm now trying to think of a way of saying something that doesn't make me sound like a massive snob or a bully.
All right.
Your music taste is generally quite poor.
It's just not very eclectic.
Every gig you go to... You're thinking, I wish this was
Taken by Sunday.
I wish this was...
actually, I don't. They're notably awful at their jobs.
What about, so obviously the wife I have access to is a massive pop punk fan.
Mm.
And when we drove back from our trip last week, she was on the DJ reins. And we had Newfound Glory.
Nice.
We had Fall Out Boy.
Yeah,
after your time, not, maybe.
We had
Dropkick
Murphys. I mean, I would say that the first two, they were massive in America college radio kind of vibes. You know what I mean? So like, absolutely huge.
One thing that's interesting to me about that kind of music around that. So I know we're going to cross a few years here, really. So I'm not being that specific, but I always think that whenever I hear American emo pop of that nature, particularly. Maybe, is it particularly Newfound Glory? Maybe not. But anyway, they've all got their own little fucking things because, of course, like Fall Out Boy are much more emo than, say, Newfound Glory are a lot more pop punk, and Sum 41 are even poppier.
And if
Dropkick Murphys are kind of Irish Celtic punk,
like old school.
But they all sound in aesthetic and energy exactly the same to me as 100 Reasons. Do you remember 100 Reasons?
Yeah, I remember 100 Reasons.
Who were around like 10 years before from like Farnham in Surrey.
Yeah, but they were aping the same... They were aping Newfound Glory. They're aping those kind of bands. You know what I mean? Yellow Card and things like the bands were around at that sort of time.
Yellow Card weren't out that early, were they?
Yeah, Yellow Card were out for ages.
And I thought the 100 Reasons were basically mimicking a lot of the hardcore emo scene, like At The Drive and stuff like that, which was even earlier.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think
if you watch the really good Instagram account that I'm always sending you stuff from is... Catatonic Youths,
who just find
the worst music around, and they've pop punk people have really kind of like everyone knows how to produce that music now, and they know how to produce it in such a mathematical and precise way. It's like the Japanese bands of like the 90s that could just ape a sound and do it beautifully and effortlessly. But there's something a little bit lost there in translation, in that it's too mechanical and it's too methodical and it's too forensic. But like these young kids in their basements with their fucking massive amounts of LED arrays and studio level microphones and stuff like that, they're filming themselves doing like everyone's doing the same cover of the same thing. They're doing the new Sam Smith song, they're doing Running Up That Hill, they're doing every fucking song that is popular on TV, and they're doing covers of it, and they're going, hey guys, imagine if, and they start it in exactly the same way.
Imagine if Kate Bush was emo.
Yeah, imagine if Kate Bush was emo. Let's go. And then they go, running up that hill, running up. It's fucking bollocks.
It's terrible. But
I love that kind of music, and it's bollocks.
But part of you does go, oh, his voice is actually quite good.
Oh, they're always amazing. Singers. They're always good singers, and the production is always fantastic, but it's always just turd.
It's always a bloke who's grown out of emo but refuses to move on as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're so good at it and so shit at it at the same time. To have those chops and to turn in such a fucking methodical forensic performance.
Really, just really good quality HD camera as well. Anyway, on that note, Pete's grumpy now. And it's all of our fault. So let's get out of here. We'll be back on Monday for more of this. I probably will run you down a couple of the things I've got up to in the Lake District, Peter.
Cool. Yep.
Try and stay awake if you can. That'd be much appreciated.
Okay.
I'm sure we'll find plenty of other stuff to talk about as well. In fact, actually, as I mentioned the first half of this episode, we have got some really good emails, particularly pertaining to near-death experiences in the sea. Someone with a weird microwave flex, which is actually quite interesting. So stick around for that on Monday. Have a great weekend. At Luke and Pete Show on social media. Hello at Luke and Pete Show on the email. Or hello at lukeandpeteshow.com, I should say, on the email. And we're around on social media individually as well. You can find us should you so wish.
All right, guys. Imagine if the Luke and Pete Show wasn't on anymore. Bye.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
mate. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.